Second hour, Darren Donick and Jace on this Tuesday. Hope everybody's having a good day thus far. David Poyle coming up in about 10 minutes or so, Predators general manager. Hey, you can support Stars this Saturday by running, walking, or you can even boogie. The Nashville Striders 21st Annual Shelby Bottoms Boogie 15 and 5K run / walk at Shelby Bottoms Park. This event is perfect for the avid runner as well as the casual jogger. You can show your support and participate virtually. For more information, visit starsnashville.org.
I'll be there. I'll be running.
Org.
Awesome. Come on out. It'll be awesome.
15 or 5?
Oh, I'm running the 5.
Yeah.
It's game day. If it were a non-game day, if it were a non-game
day,
3.1 is the 5K. The 15K, that's times 3, so that would be
almost
what,
10 miles.
Yeah, 9.3.
That's a no.
My math is correct.
That's a no.
But there'll be some people churning it out. Sure. Shelby Bottoms, nice and flat, mm-hmm. No hills, beautiful setting, scenery, the river on the side, awesome stuff.
Hope you can support. It's
yeah,
for a great
out.
Cause.
It'd be fun.
Great cause.
Awesome.
Let's go to Gary on our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. He would like to weigh in. What's up?
Hey, good morning, guys. I just wanted to say that I think it was not only an important moral decision for the Raiders to move on from John Gruden, but also a very legitimate and necessary business decision. The professional sports, the NFL, is nothing if it's not about its brand and what it portrays itself to be. And John Gruden diminished that brand a lot by the things that we've learned that he has said through the course of the last few years. And additionally, I think it's also very, very disappointing when someone who has a public persona is shown to be somebody in real life who's so very different than that based on their words and actions. And I don't wish any ill toward Coach Gruden. I hope he can use it to grow as a person. But he obviously has a lot of work to do and doesn't deserve a $10 million a year job. At the pinnacle of his profession. And although I appreciate the comparisons to Kyle Larson, a hotshot young NASCAR driver who's got a lot of growing up to do, is one thing. You know, someone of John Gruden's stature, age, and experience, that's another thing. So I appreciate the conversation. I wish the Raiders well. I wish Coach Gruden well. And I think it's an important discussion, and it's important to move on from this kind of stuff as a society once and for all, and we're not going to do it unless people are held accountable. Thank you.
Really,
I think
well, really good call.
The problem that I have with a lot of this stuff is I think we're never really going to go truly in the right direction, even though we are going in the right direction. I mean fully in the right direction until we get to the point where it's unacceptable before it's public. And that's where I have a problem with a lot of this stuff, because a lot of this stuff is phony, whether it's college, you know, college athletics or professional sports, until it becomes public and a huge story. And the leagues, either they're reactive. And I think we need to talk more about being proactive, because there's been a lot of misogynist coaches in college football that administrators knew, people within offices knew of things that they said, their you know, what they have done, actions. They knew. But guess what? They're winning football games or winning basketball games, and those sports have a lot of money attached to them, and they don't get proactive. They don't get proactive until somebody comes out with a big, gigantic story, and it's what everybody's talking about, and then they're forced to get be reactive. So to me, all this stuff is good, but until people, like, because I'm just telling you right now, I don't believe for a minute the Raiders are going to do anything on this. Do you? I mean, Davis knew about it. Mark Davis knew about all
this.
That, was he going to do anything?
A lot of people
are
asking those questions. Is and I think Adam Schefter, if I absorbed his reporting this morning when I was watching on it, and last night, he said the NFL pretty much presented this to the Raiders and said, you know, what do you want to do with this information? And when they didn't do anything, that's when
that's my
the articles came out.
Mark Davis is not like, didn't, okay, he was not going to do anything.
Yeah.
So we're not truly making the strides we have to make until behind the scenes actions are taken before it's a big public story.
Right.
Because so many times it's known about, it's absorbed, and they turn the other way. And so we're not really making progress if that's still going on. And here's a prime example. Mark Davis would have looked the other way. Mark Davis was not going to fire John Gruden.
No.
And he knew about this. And so we're not making the necessary strides until we get past that point.
Well, one thing that I heard from the panel this morning, and I think is really, really important, is, boy, does it bother. You know, I think about the number of – Mike Tirico comes to mind, the number of players who have played for John Gruden that maybe never saw this side of him. I enjoyed playing for Coach Gruden. You know, he's a good guy. He likes me, you know. But, you know, African-American players, gay people, you know, they never saw this side. So it was really disappointing, crushing, when you're like, the guy that I thought I knew,
yeah,
this is what was going on behind it. Like, they'd almost rather, and this was, and I can't, why can't I remember the guy's name? He made a really good point this morning on this. He was like, I'd rather you just be straight up and tell me all of these things openly, because I would respect you more than you put on a good face. You have this, you keep this cloak behind the scenes, and then we find out that this was going on behind the scenes. That's an element of this, too.
So how would you, along those lines, how would you guys feel if he had walked out there after either before or after the game, whenever on Sunday, and he had said, I know everybody is aware of the email that I wrote 10 years ago, and said everything that he said, apologized, and he goes, but I do think it's important that I let you know that, unfortunately, that wasn't the first time that I made comments that I shouldn't make. And, you know, these are things that I have worked on since that time, and I understand that what I said was wrong. You know, whether he steps down at that point or takes a leave of absence but owns it a little bit more, we might be having a different conversation today. But to your point, Darren, I mean, the fact that the organization wasn't going to own it, the organization wasn't going to do anything, I mean, their hand got forced, and that's where you're right. We have to get better. We have to get more proactive. We have to be a little more accepting of, okay, when people make mistakes, they are going to try and change, and they are going to learn from those mistakes. That's where the Kyle Larson example comes into play. Like, his industry, Hendrick Motorsports hired him. They allowed him the opportunity to get the second chance and earn the second chance and learn from his mistakes. That doesn't always happen. You know, when the cancel culture thing comes to play, I mean – there are times people just get kicked out, and like, no, you're never coming back in. Whereas some people deserve that, and then some people you got to see if you can learn from it and come back from it. Where Gruden falls in this category, I don't know. We'll see.
This is not just this is a society thing. If we truly want to go in the right direction, I was just reading. I don't know if you guys have seen this. I mean, when you just look at, you know, our business alone. I've been reading this story. I've been following this story. And I'm trying to remember what market. I want to say Chicago, but I don't want to say that because I'm not positive. I don't remember. But there's been allegations. A very, very popular morning show. And the host, one female staffer after another coming forward. And look, this culture's been going on. This is dating back to 2003, and this is a prime example. It's very clear if you read this story. This guy's a, you know, Hall of Famer, very, very, very successful morning drive talk show or radio show, and this is a prime example of, like I said, this is not just a sports thing. Until this became a big, gigantic story, and it's been out there, and all these women have come forward. Then, right, that now we get reactive. You're telling me they didn't know? Really? They didn't know? We have to, you're going to have to, until places get proactive, it's like, Well, yeah, but we've got a really, really successful morning radio show. So, sorry.
Right.
you make minimum wage, right? You're an intern or whatever. Like, we're not getting rid of him because of what you say. No. Until we get past all of that. I mean, didn't we have all the stuff come out about Les Miles when he was at LSU? It was easy at that point for LSU people to pile on Les Miles, right? They had moved on. But you're telling me they didn't know about all that stuff when he was there? Or they're winning a whole lot of football games and really, really successful, and they're like, yeah, we're going to choose to look the other way. You see what I mean? Like, that goes on way, way too much. We look the other way way, way too much. And until it becomes public knowledge and a public story, and then something is done. We can't truly make progress until we get past all that, where places become proactive before it becomes public knowledge. All right, I know we've got David Poile on the line with us, and I know he doesn't want to hear this stuff. So let's bring him up. He is Predators General Manager. It is time for us to start our Tuesday weekly with him. David, how you doing?
I am ready to go. We just Matt Centennial. We had a late practice today, and had a little bit of a team meeting, and we're down to our roster opening night lineup. It was a terrific training camp, a really good training camp. I guess obviously we missed that from not being able to have a normal camp for the last 2 years, but I was really pleased with how everybody performed, how our coaches constructed camp, and we're ready to start the season on Thursday night.
I know we're going to get into that, David, in just a moment, but why was it important for you guys to put out, I think it was yesterday, to make it official and promote Scott Nickel to assistant general manager?
Well, Scott's done a really good job since he's retired as a player. It's first of all, it's really neat, bringing back a former Predators player to actually work for us. Scott's always been one of my favorite players, player that didn't really ever get to the NHL until he was like 27 or 28, played a lot of games in the minors, but finally made it. I mean, he's kind of got that underdog role. He never was a guy that signed like long-term contracts. In fact, I think maybe he was on a series of one-year contracts his whole career, so he had to fight for everything. So I think he's really grounded. He's always been so passionate about hockey, even when a player, talking to the manager, you could just tell that he loved the game. And he's been in charge of a lot of things for us with our development, hiring, Sebastian Bordalo and Rob Scuderi and Dave Rook, and then also the general manager of Milwaukee. So I think it's obviously for sure well deserved. And I think it kind of rounds out our management crew. I'm a lucky guy here having three assistants and all doing different things with Brian Poile and Jeff Kelty and now Scott Nickel. So I think they're all young guys. They're all up-and-coming guys. I think it's fair to say I think they all have characteristics to be a general manager someday. So it's just was the right thing to do, and real happy for Scott, and I'm real happy for myself that I have three great guys working for me.
Well said, and we've definitely enjoyed our conversations with Scott over the years. I'm trying to figure out the right way to phrase this. Igor Afanasyev really stood out to me. I will admit that his progress seems to be much further along than I initially anticipated as a second-round pick back in 2019. Did he surprise you guys with his progress in camp and preseason, or is this what you expected and you knew he was going to make it tough?
No, I would say he surprised us for sure. I think one thing that probably didn't take into consideration is last year with the COVID season, so many players having partial seasons or some junior players didn't even play, where Igor, with his Russian background, got to play a full year in Russia and actually got to play in the men's league, the KHL. And I think that gave him a huge head start on a lot of different players. So I thought he played really well. I'm very confident that he's going to be an important player for the Predators in the not too distant future. I mean, you got to like his size, his skating, he can score. I think just the few details of the game to make sure that he's, I guess, would say trustworthy defensively. But he was really, really close. And You know, as one thing, and just as a sort of a segue, is that it's you know, we set our opening night lineup, but that's all it is an opening night lineup. If we've learned anything from last year, from good play, bad play, injuries, or what have you, we're going to need a lot of players. And I have to believe, you know, whether it's you know, Thomasino, who is our first pick, gets to start in the game Thursday night, whether he's able to play regular, stick around, or he has to go to Milwaukee. I mean, I think there's going to be some, you know, changes in our lineup as the year goes along. And Igor is a guy that, based on what we saw at training camp, certainly should get some games this year.
Okay, so with that being said, it is a nice segue. You did announce opening night roster, of course, Thursday night. Predators host the Seattle Kraken, so we'll get to see the new NHL franchise on Thursday evening. Phil Thomasino, why do you feel like he's at, we know we had discussions with you. You said he was going to get every opportunity this offseason to make the roster. He has. Why did Thomasino, in your all's minds, why did he do enough? And what did you like about him for to make opening night roster?
Well, again, looking down the road, I'm very confident as the next couple of years go by in terms of getting a little bit bigger, a little bit stronger, and, you know, getting, again, just like Igor, the more of the details of the game, especially defensively, that he's going to be a definite part of our team, and hopefully he'll be part of our top six forwards. The one thing that always happens in every game is that the puck comes to him. I mean, you know, and he gets great scoring chances, it's a skill, I guess, that you can't teach or what have you, but he's one of those guys that's just he's going to score. I just know he's going to score. And, you know, he probably gets the nod to start here in Nashville over some other younger players based on our need in that area. I mean, one of the areas that we've talked about before is there's a lot that I like about our team, our work ethic, our physicality, a lot of things, but I think that we're going to have to find some secondary scoring, and Thomasino has a good track record of that, and we're probably going to give him a chance here starting Saturday night.
You know the game of chicken you have to play whenever you put people on waivers, and you've been able to do it most of the time over the years, and then there's times when people get claimed, and Rem Pitlick got claimed by the Minnesota Wild. And then you had to put some more guys on waivers yesterday to finalize this roster. Was there a little nervousness considering Pitlick was picked up and you were trying to push Connor Ingram through, or did you feel pretty confident? Did you feel confident that was going to happen?
Never quite confident in when you put guys on waivers, because you don't know exactly what everybody needs or what their situation is. For example, there's a couple goaltenders that have been hurt in preseason. So when you talk about Ingram, I mean, that looks like a definite possibility that, you know, he could get taken, even if it's just a stopgap situation for a team. So, you know, I'm sure every team has likes their players a little bit, maybe more than other players, or maybe they have them rated a little bit higher than other players. But it also goes back to your depth that you want and you need at the start of the season. So, you know, Pitlick was a player that we thought had a good chance to, you know, either make our team or play games for us this year. And we certainly would have much rather had him down in Milwaukee this year with the opportunity to call him up to give him that opportunity to compete again at the, for our team. So that's a little bit of a missing piece for our overall depth that we're planning on. So it could probably lead us to maybe making a trade or making an acquisition for somebody if we feel that we need to replace them. So, those are the rules, and everybody has the same number of players on their roster today. So that's the way it goes. But ideally, we would have loved to have kept Rem, and because he was certainly getting closer to being a regular player in the National Hockey League.
Tanner Jeannot had the fourth and final goal on Saturday afternoon in the 4-3 victory over Carolina. He had three preseason goals. We know his story last year. Burst on the scene, got an opportunity because of a suspension and injury, and never looked back. And is it fair to say that he's taken even a step further forward? I didn't say that very correctly. He's got more to his game than we thought, right? I mean, Is he a guy now where you guys feel confident that you can plug and play him just about anywhere in the lineup and you can get production?
Yeah, I think that the his star is rising, if you will, and I can say that for Trennan and who's also playing with Cold Decision on our so-called identity line, so-called fourth line. I think they're going to get more opportunities, which translates into more minutes this year. And Trennan scored in preseason, as you just pointed out, scored in preseason. So, if they are a fourth line, I don't know who's got a better fourth line in the league. I mean, they actually, maybe should be playing as our third line, and we'll have to see how Coach Hines uses all of our lines and what minutes they get, who's he's trying to match up with a different teams. But Tanner, is a really good story for us as a free agent. He's a big boy. He's got the physicality, defends well. He's going to kill penalties for us. And as you just pointed out, he's now scored some goals. So a lot of things are looking good for Tanner, and for his rise up in the Predators lineup this year.
Talking to David Poile, general manager, Nashville Predators. Opening night, Thursday night against Seattle. Opening night in the league tonight. And David, I hear a lot of people kicking around the term competitive rebuild, whether it be here or in the National. And people, kicking around what does that mean. But to me, I see really a two-year process that you stated at the end of the games in the bubble when you guys lost to Arizona. I think your words then were a little more will, a little less skill, balancing that out. But I see a roster now here 2 years later, a lot younger, a lot bigger, and I do think the tough to play against definitely is apparent. Is that a fair to say that over the last 2 years that's the direction it's gone?
Yeah, I think that's fair. I would agree with that. I mean, I made that statement in an interview that competitive rebuild. If I could have that back, I would change that to competitive transition. I don't think that we're a team that's in a actual rebuild. I think we've made a few changes, and I do think we're more in transition. When a lot has been made of all the changes that we've made, but basically on our roster that we said yesterday, we have 24-man roster. There's at the most, there's four players that didn't play here in our organization last year or didn't play games for the Predators. So I think most teams have made probably more changes than the Predators, if you will. But we've been kind of brought under that umbrella of a team that's really, making a lot of changes. And I think it's been, I'd probably like to go more to it. It's more of a transition. And yes, Willie, I think you're totally right on the age part. I think we were like fourth or fifth oldest team in the league last year, and we made, I think, open like fifth or sixth youngest team in the league. Now, you don't get any points for that, but I do think it shows that we are transitioning from an older to a younger lineup, and from that standpoint, I think that that's what we wanted to do. I don't think if we were the state with the old, as the, one of the oldest teams in the league, where we are sort of in the middle of a pack, that was the right way to go. So I like our team as a if I had my wish for the year, is like I'd like to see us at us just a steady growth. The last year was more that roller coaster type of a year, from the bad beginning to the strong finish. But I'd like to see both our team and the individuals just get a little bit better as the season goes along and get stronger to the end. That's what my hope, and I think that's how it feels to me, is how this team is built right now.
There are a couple guys that are quite obvious around the league whose contracts are up at the end of the season. You've expressed desire to move forward with. Can you give us the latest update as you go into the season on Philip Forsberg and Mattias Ekholm?
It's just ongoing. I mean, again, it's always, don't love talking about negotiations because you just never know whether you're going to say you're close. I mean, you just never know. One day it's like it's never going to happen. The next day you get a deal done. But our goal all along has been to sign Effie to get that done. I mean, he wants to be here. We want him here. I mean, you know, we just have a difference in where we are right now. But hopefully by continual conversation, which we are having continual conversation, regular conversation, if you will, we'll get that done. I think, you know, Philip, we've had some conversations with his agent, and I think that's going to be, you know, a little bit slower. I do think it would speed up after if that he was signed, but I think there's kind of an order, and I think we see that, and I think Philip and his agent see that. So again, we have a lot of time. Philip's in a really good place. He looks really good here at training camp, and I think he's going to have a terrific year. And so, you know, Eckie is the guy that we'd like to try to do at this time. And then, you know, Philip will be having conversations with him at the appropriate time.
We're talking to David Poile, Predators general manager, who will now join us every Tuesday at 11:15 here on Darren Donick and Chase. And looking forward to that. You segued perfect into my question with Philip Forsberg. But Philip Forsberg, Matt Duchene, Ryan Johansson, obviously a lot of eyes on them and seeing how they're going to perform not only as individuals, but now it would appear as a line for opening night. And, you know, whether you want to admit it or not, whether they want to admit it or not, there's going to be some pressure there to try and perform. But how have you seen in camp that they use that pressure, that chip on their shoulder, however you want to put it, to enter this season and try and perform?
I think everything right now, you couldn't ask for more out of those three individuals as individuals and how they practiced. And they were all drivers, if you will, in terms of us having a really good training camp, and in the games they played, they were our best players. And that's really the bottom line, is we need our best players to be our best players. And if that becomes the case, then I think everything will be worked towards a really good season for us. I, again, they're not immune to the stuff that's been said or the criticism. And, you know, it's just there's so many inconsistencies last year in our game as individuals and as a team, that we just hoping to, you know, it's been talked about. And I've had meetings with them, and John, our coach, has had meetings with them. And all I can tell you is that they've come to the camp in really good shape. They've come to camp doing everything that we needed to have done every day. And as I repeat, they were our best players. And it's a new year, and again, they have to be better. They have to be more consistent, and they have to be our best players. And if they can do that, that will go a long way to us having a good season.
Keeping with the theme of getting younger, two players you acquired this offseason, Cody Glass and Philip Myers, will make their Predators debut on Thursday. What have you seen out of those guys through this? And we haven't even mentioned this real training camp for the first time in 2 years.
Philip Myers has been really good, playing mostly with Mattias Ekholm, which is a great player to play with in terms of a mentor, someone that he can learn from. I think John Hines sees him as probably our first two guys out on the penalty killing on defense. Obviously, you love their size and a little bit of physicality. Again, another young player that gets traded for the first time, so I think there's probably some learning curve to the Predators, our system, our players, that type of thing. But all in all, I think he's in a really good place. Cody Glass is another young player that was coming off of a trade and coming off of a knee injury. I think his camp has been good, but he has not he's not scored yet. That's an area that he's always excelled at, is doing things well offensively. And I know that's probably something that he would like to have happen here as soon as the first game, kind of get that monkey off his back, if you will. But he's got some talent. He does some things in practices in terms of his vision and making plays. And again, I just think he needs a little bit of a runway here to get his overall game and his confidence together. But on the surface, he's probably going to be a player that's in a good position. I think John Hines is going to play him behind Joey and Granlund's line, which means he should get good and fair matchups to allow him to be successful.
David, real quick before we let you go, 23 years ago, you had spent over a year building this team, hiring coaches, putting a roster together, and then finally had your first roster for opening night. Ron Francis has been doing the same for Seattle as they'll make their debut tonight in the National Hockey League. What do you remember about game day, your first game day with the Predators after all of that hard work, and what do you think that Ron Francis is going through today?
Yeah, well, for me, it was so exciting. I had a lot of family at the first game. A lot of came from the Washington Capitals. A lot of staff came to that game, so I remember all the support, and I had my fingers crossed. It was, you know, we lost our first game, and it was like, you're almost like, oh man, are we ever going to win a game? So, you know, you just don't know what you have exactly. But I must tell you, that's I've done a lot of things in hockey or what have you, but the expansion was something I'm so glad I did, versus, you know, if I had an opportunity to go to another team. I just loved every part of it in terms of, you know, building the team, selecting the people who you work with, and scouts, coaches, all that stuff. That was straight at the top of my list of the best things. So I loved it. And again, the crowd, you know, right from day one was very supportive of our team. And it's not only gotten better, but it's certainly gotten more knowledgeable. So I'd love to, when they started saying that when we first got there, Nashville was a non-traditional city, and I don't hear that anymore. So I know we're a hockey city now, and we're loved, in the city, both hopefully on the ice, but I would keep mentioning all the time, I really think we're a big part of the community, and with our players and all of our staff participating in the community, I think is been really special and separates the Predators from a lot of other franchises.
Well said. It's good to talk to you again. We're looking forward to doing this every Tuesday. It should be a special and fun night in there Thursday night at Bridgestone Arena. David, thanks for doing this. Have a great rest of your day.
Okay, guys. Look forward to it. Talk to you next Tuesday.
All right. That is Predators General Manager David Poile. We'll come back. We'll discuss some Pred stuff that you heard there on the other side to close out hour number two of Darren, Donick, and Chase. That's next on ESPN 102.5 The Game. That was David Poile. He just joined us. Don't forget, Tuesdays at 11:15. Keep that in mind. Predators GM every Tuesday at 11:15. By the way, you can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube every day. Our video streaming is brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase.
Can we just let this play?
Presented by Curation CBD. Curation CBD. Products curated for life. The NHL season does begin tonight. Yeah, ESPN. Little double dip on ESPN. Pittsburgh in Tampa to take on the Lightning. And the Seattle Kraken out in the desert taking on the Golden Knights.
It's 16 years since ESPN has had a hockey broadcast.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy.
A lot of the same people are there. Barry Melrose, John Buchagras, Linda Cohn. They're really excited. They've been doing all kinds of interviews all over the place. And they've added some people, too. Sean McDonough, who we talked to.
AJ Malesko.
AJ Malesko is part of the crew. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, it'll be cool. Did want to throw this out. I know we got a lot of Preds programming. Darren, you got the preview show coming up tonight at 6. Is that right?
6 to 8.
6 to 8.
Myself, Pete Weber, and Hal Gill.
Yeah, and then we'll have Smashville Live tomorrow at 6, making its debut. We'll have David Poile and John Hines as our guests. So you'll hear a lot of David Poile these days on these airwaves. But a lot of things leading into Thursday night. Going to be fun.
Get a look at the Seattle Kraken minus some players on their roster.
Yeah. Tonight.
And an announcer.
And Thursday night.
Yeah, I saw that about
Unfortunately, their brand new play-by-play man, Everett Fitzhugh, announced just a few minutes ago that he can't travel. He's now on the COVID list. So I don't know what happened there. That's a bummer.
And Callie Yarncroke
was on there. So it's a little unclear about when those guys will come back. It doesn't look like any of them will play tonight, but I don't know what the protocols are on false positives or how quick they're all vaccinated. So how quick are they eligible to come back? I don't know exactly, but this is what we'll find out.
Did I see that correctly this morning? 99% of the league is vaccinated? Is that right?
Gary Bettman said this morning there are four players.
I thought there were five. I thought I read five.
He said
maybe four now.
He said four this morning.
Okay.
In the entire league, four.
Interesting. Okay, let's go over the line combinations and let's see if we can agree or if we've got some varying opinions. So we all believe Johansson's going to center. This is the start of the season. Okay, this is starting Saturday night or Thursday night against Seattle, and then Saturday night against Carolina. Hey, we get to see the Hurricanes. It's been a while since we've seen them. Oh, wait a minute. The Predators have played them now 16 times going back to last year. Regular season, postseason, and now two preseason games. 16 times. But, hey, see them again on Saturday. We should know them quite well. So, Johansson, Duchesne, Forsberg. Any pushback? Everybody ready? Break? That's
nope.
The top line?
No pushback.
Thursday?
Well, I think they've already – I mean, unless something crazy happens, they've put their lines out. We know what they're going to be.
It's so, is it going to be from Saturday afternoon? Granlund centering the second line?
Well, Adam had it Tolvanen. Yesterday at practice.
And they were the same as Saturday.
So it's the same as Saturday. Okay.
So it looks like that's what they're going to roll with to start with. You never know. Somebody could take a turn and they have to make a change. But
Olivier's been put on IR.
Correct.
Correct.
Just to pass that along. So that fourth line right now, and David Poile said it may be the best fourth line in the league, and I would agree with that. Like I traditionally don't go up and down, every roster looking at fourth lines in the league, but I do see them when the Predators play them. And Sissons, Janot, and Trennan, you tell me a better fourth line in the league.
It's not a fourth line. That's the thing. Like, that's
it's
why
a unique
it's so good.
Deal.
Like,
the Islanders come to mind, and I think there's some similarities, which I think the way the Predators want to play is kind of how the Islanders play.
This, to me,
and they use their fourth line like that.
The way this roster is constructed reminds me of like a 07, 08, 08, 09 Barry Trotz coached Preds team. Not picked to do a whole lot, but got a mix of, I like that, will and skill, the balance of that. And, I think that's what they are. I mean, you look at these line combinations that they're going to open with. You mentioned Forsberg, Johansson, Duchesne, Tolvanen, Granlund, Cunnan. Granlund and Cunnan played a lot together last year, had good chemistry. Cousins, Glass, Tomasino. That's the one that I think most people are really going to be paying attention to. What exactly is that? David Poile mentioned Cody Glass hasn't scored yet. That's, you want to see how he's going to do. And then the rookie, Tomasino, making his official NHL debut on Thursday. I like having a little toughness with Cousins on that line. I think that's a good combination. But Glass and Tomasino, they're going to need to show out. I mean, they're going to need production. He mentioned secondary scoring. That's where you're going to get it. And also the aforementioned Beast Herd line, as I used to call it.
I'd rather see Tomasino and Cunnan. Me personally, I'd rather see them swapped.
So you want to see Tomasino on the second
Granlund
line with Granlund
and Tolvanen.
That's interesting. I wonder if maybe they're putting him in that position with Glass, just, take a little pressure, not being in the top six. I don't know. But I think it'd be interesting to swap. And, John Hines has shown he's not afraid to swap lines mid-game.
Well, I think that first line, that's the one that I really want to know is, can they sustain? How long can they sustain? I think it's fair to say that just because of circumstances, injuries, and not necessarily to somebody on that line, but another line might have you switch them up. But there's also things that go stale. I want to know, can that line click where you're putting them down every night? Because we know it's very, very possible if they don't get off to a good start, they might feel the need to shake them up after two or three games. Even though right now it looks really good. I just hope if that sticks, that's a big, big thing. If they're getting that as a true first line. Because I think you can look at it, you can shuffle those guys up a little bit and say, okay, it might be better to do it this way. We don't know. Like last year, the line of Luke Cunnan, Mikhail Granlund, and Cali Yarncroak. The year before, Nick Bonino, Craig Smith, Rocco Grimaldi. I don't think those were lines that were together at the beginning of the season. Like, I don't think those were lines that you said, wow, that's going to be a really effective line for this team. Sometimes you don't know until it just sort of naturally or even unnaturally you stumble upon it. And you're like, wow, we've got something here. But I think the way it is now, you had a great question to David Poile. It's like, okay, tell me what you're seeing from these guys. He says, hey, to their credit, they've had a really good camp. For what that doesn't mean anything now, But they are driving practice. They've been the best players in the preseason games. These are all good signs. And then for that secondary scoring, that becomes the big question now. And a guy like Luke Cunningham, so important. Are we going to see the Luke Cunningham that we saw when he came back down the stretch? He was a big reason why they were scoring enough goals. He was a force. I think that's a very important player when it comes to the quote-unquote secondary scoring.
I think the guy that, you know, I mean, really is going to be the catalyst is going to be Forsberg. And, you know, I'll say he's had a good camp. He's looked good in the preseason. He does have a little bit of a different demeanor about him right now. And I don't know if that's just the chip on the shoulder, determination, knows it's a contract year, all those things. But whatever he's got to do, if it translates on the ice, that's fine. And I did think it was telling that, you know, David brought up the contract negotiations, and it does feel that Ekholm continues to be the focus to get that one done and then revisit Forsberg a little later on down the line. And I don't think that's a bad thing. I don't think that's a bad thing at all.
It's okay now, but I mean, what's the window? What's the window where it's no longer like, okay, like we're still pretty far apart and it's January 16th?
Well, sure, but I think
like I don't know. What is the date on the calendar when David needs to feel better? You know, like today sitting here on October 12th, sure. Okay, we're kind of, you know, we're not close and that's fine. It's October 12th. But January 12th, will he still feel that way? I don't know.
I would say by the first of the year, if there's not much traction, then it also depends. Like, is Ekholm signed by then?
Well, I thought that was noteworthy in his answer, David Poile's answer, when we brought the question up. It sounds to me like the first priority is getting Mattias Ekholm done. It would not surprise – I think if they had a perfect scenario in the next couple days, you maybe can find a way to get that done. Or very close to the first day, and now you have it set. Now you've got just one guy, and now you can start going to work on how you go about that. They have definitely opened up with these moves they've made. They've opened up a considerable amount of cap space, and I haven't seen a ranking of who has the most cap space, but they've got a pretty good amount for a team that is quote unquote not completely rebuilding. That's one thing. Hey. Does Arizona have some cap space? Oh, yeah. They got plenty of cap space, but they're in a different spot. Nashville's still trying to be a playoff team while they are transitioning, as he's saying, from an older roster to a younger, bigger roster. So they have cap space with that, which is important. It gives you flexibility. It gives you the ability to re-sign Ekholm and Forsberg. So I do think – and I think it's clear from Phillips' angle – that he's in no hurry. He wants to kind of wait and see.
And he's earned that right.
And he's a guy that I think believes hasn't had his best season yet.
Yeah.
He hasn't had a season where it all comes together. This would be a great year for him to have his best season. It's good for the Predators. It's good for him because that next deal's coming. He could be betting on himself.
By the way, the last time I looked, I don't think Arizona had the most cap space. I think the last time I looked...
Well, they've got a bunch of contracts of people that don't play.
Right.
It was... Right. That's what I was getting at, is they've taken on all... Yeah. It's absorbed these contracts for draft picks. I think Buffalo had a lot. Ottawa... I think Ottawa had the most, followed by Buffalo. I think this is the last time I looked. Buffalo and Ottawa, I think, were the two best. And then I think Anaheim... Maybe Anaheim and, believe it or not, Columbus has a lot of cap space. And Detroit. I think those were the top five I remember. And I was surprised that it wasn't Arizona, but then I was like, oh, yeah, they absorbed a lot of contracts.
But on Forsberg, if I'm him, if I'm in his position, I'm not in a hurry either for many reasons. One, bet on yourself. See what your season is going to look like. Get the maximize your value because – this is going to be his last big contract.
I mean, likely,
You know,
this is when you got to go for
right.
it.
Yeah. So you go get it. And then at the same time, I think he wants to see what this franchise looks like. I mean, what this competitive transition that David Poile just called it, what does that look like? Because he has the right, whether you agree with that or not, he has the right to do that. He is in that position as a pending free agent that he can see how it all plays out. I mean, you know, I think trading Victor Arvidsson and the trading Ryan Ellis, the moves that they made, they were the right moves. They needed to be made. It was time to shake it up. This team, in my opinion, got too close, got too comfortable. And you have to shake it up sometimes. But, you know, Philip was vocal about that, that he hated seeing Arvidsson especially go. And so now he's, I think, in a position where he wants to see what it looks like moving forward. And that's fine.
I think so too. That's his right as a player. Yeah. And I don't think it's the end of the world if it goes into January. Now, you have to see where you are at that point. And it is good that he, in theory, would be the one guy that's in the position of being a UFA at the end of the year, because there's a lot of ways it can go. Is Nashville in a pack of teams fighting to get to the playoffs where they have that, and this happens to a lot of teams, hey, if we add one more guy, hey, we might make the playoffs and have a roster that looks pretty darn good. It could beat somebody in the first round and then make one of those great runs. They're not likely to be a team cruising for a division title. I think that's a little unrealistic, but you never know where a team's going to be. Peter Laviolette's first team came completely out of nowhere and had the best record in the league after about 60 games. Now, the other thing could be true, too. They could be in a deal where it doesn't look like they're going to make the playoffs, and you're better off trying to add players for the future. And maybe Philip Forsberg would be an extremely attractive guy as a rental. I mean, you can't rule that out if it goes to that. So there's a lot of ways it can go that could be a win-win for both sides. So it's not the worst thing in the world. But I think if you look at a lot of teams around the league, there's a lot of teams that it's hard to know what it's going to look like. It's pretty wide open in terms of, especially in the West. After you get past Colorado and Vegas, there's a lot of ways it can go for a lot of different teams. Sure. And I think the Predators would be in that mix.
It's pretty amazing that – do we view Calgary as a big-time contender?
I think they're kind of like Nashville. Put them in a pool right. of teams that if it goes right, they could
have you looked
absolutely
at their roster
the
space? They have no cap space at mm-hmm. all. They're like maxed out.
And they've got to make big decisions on some of their players like Matthew Tkachuk. Like mm-hmm. Ottawa's got a lot of space, but a lot of it's going to go to Brady Tkachuk if and when they ever get that done.
Right, but I mean,
and
how does
and
Calgary,
they've just come through a huge rebuild.
By the way, St. Louis, no cap space at all. By the way, the Predators in their division, Dallas, no cap space. Chicago, no cap space. St. Louis, no cap space. Winnipeg, no cap space. Those teams, they got nothing.
By the way, speaking of the division,
they can't maneuver to do anything.
Colorado just putting out there, Nathan MacKinnon, COVID protocol-related absence, will not practice today. Mm,
okay. Well, God.
We shall see.
I thought we were shaking this.
We'll come back. We'll start the third hour with Tim Hasselbeck. We'll switch gears, talk a little NFL with him. He needs to move to today, so we'll talk to Tim on the other side as you listen to Darren Donica Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.